You are listening to the Faith and Sound podcast, coming to you from the Bat Cave.
Faith and Sound?
What?
Bat Cave, not Sioux Falls.
Wait a minute.
That is so different. You've changed our opening.
My name is the Reverend Dr. No, I'm not kidding. My name is Pastor Thomas Lawson.
And I'm Pastor Mike Johnson.
And our aim is to encourage the saints of Faith Baptist Fellowship to believe sound doctrine and to live lives that adorn the gospel of Jesus Christ.
I have to admit, you know, change makes me uncomfortable. Like changing that intro.
I changed the intro. No, this is the Sound in Faith podcast, not the Faith in Sound podcast.
Coming to you from beautiful Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Beautiful Sioux Falls, South Dakota. It is a lovely day out.
It is. We're in the Bat Cave. We really are.
But. Yeah, coming to you from the Bat Cave here. We've got a good episode for you today. If I ever come on here and say we have a bad episode for you today,
just turn it off.
It's just time to turn it off. But I really think this is going to be a good episode, and it's a necessary episode because, and I have it right here in my pocket, Mike.
What do you have?
I'm going to shake it for you.
All right.
I have change.
Oh, you have change in your
isn't that what we're talking about? We're talking about change today.
Yeah, we're talking about change. Yeah.
Oh, but not this kind of change.
No, it's what do they call those when words sound the same but or they're the same but they have different meanings?
Homonyms?
Yeah. That's a homonym.
Actually, I didn't have any American coins, and this is what's so funny about this. These are Russian rubles. Found in my desk drawer in my office, and I was like, hey, it still gets the point across. It's still change.
Yeah.
We're not talking about that kind of change. I'm going to plop this down over here on the desk. We are talking about change in the life of our church, not just our church, but just in general. We're going to be talking about change. Yeah. How do Christians and churches navigate change? Because in many ways, change is inevitable.
Inevitable. Right. It's the one constant. You know, I mean, it's not the one constant. We'll talk about the one constant.
Yeah, yeah.
But in our experience of life, change happens all the time. You know, and it's not all bad, even though it's typically hard.
But it can be very challenging.
Yeah.
For many people to face change, mm-hmm. And so we're going to dive into that a little bit. And part of this is prompted by the fact that our church, Faith Baptist Fellowship, has been through, especially in the last couple of years, 2 years maybe, and even beyond that, some significant changes.
Yes.
Some of those changes have been marvelous and God-glorifying and exciting, you know, and we're going to talk a little bit about those. Some of them are just kind of the necessary changes of life, but that can be difficult for some people sometimes.
Absolutely.
Especially when you become used to things being a certain way for so long. So why in particular are we going to focus on this now? What's kind of our aim today?
Helpfulness. You know, helpfulness. Yeah. I like that many people from Faith Baptist listen to this podcast, mm-hmm. and I think it's a great opportunity to be helpful as we all feel the changes and we start navigating these changes and to think rightly about them, think biblically about them, go out of our way to preserve unity among them and also help other people who struggle with change. And then, you know, beyond that, here's the thing, everybody who's listening right now, even people who are from different states, you know, they're going to resonate with one thing, and that is that, change.
Yeah.
And most people probably resonate with church change, like going on right now, because it's always happening. Like, it's a pretty constant sentiment, the church is changing.
If you're a believer not from our church, whether you're a church member, or church leader, pastor, and your congregation is going to go through change at some point. And knowing how to navigate that as believers is important.
Right.
You know, and having a good perspective on that.
So helpfulness. We want to be helpful.
Okay, so churches change.
They do.
People change.
People do.
Why do churches change?
Yeah, churches change because the people that make them up change. You know, we grow. We die. New ones come. We move. You know, we move locations. I mean, there's so many different reasons why we change. The church is always who she is now and not who she once was, and that's because the people are changing.
Yeah.
And the church is made of people, you know, and so there is an impulse in us to want to hold on to things the way that they used to be, you know, when the church was a different church, you know, but the church is who she is now. And that's,
right.
And really I'm speaking very general terms because that's like, that's an axiom about all churches, not just about Faith Baptist right now in the season we're in.
Yeah.
After just, you know, going through the pastoral transition, and then the pastoral transition we're going through right now with a new associate pastor, you know, with Pastor Vilhauer retiring and a new pastor potentially coming this summer, you know. So, yeah, it's always changing.
As we get into this episode, we are going to be talking some about the importance of holding on to things that are good and having traditions. Yes. We don't completely throw the past out.
No.
But at the same time, there is a natural flow to life. And I think in some ways that's reflective to, and we're going to get into this here in just a moment when we talk about healthy change, because as Christians, we believe that if the Spirit of God is within us, we are being conformed more to the image of Christ. There is a change that should be taking place
yes.
in our lives.
Yeah.
We should be becoming more like Jesus.
Yeah, just before I came up here, I read this passage that says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And this is from God. You know, so God changes us, and that is really good. And
exactly.
We know that. You know, like I can look back at my time before I was a Christian, and I am, and even as I've grown as a Christian, I'm so glad that things have changed. It's been good for me, you know?
There are some changes I'm really glad have taken place in my life by the grace of God. And we should be thankful for that as Christians. Why, though, you know, let's dive into this question.
Sure.
Why do Christians struggle with change?
I think we struggle with change, and you know, you don't have to just ask me all these. I'll ask you too. You know why we?
Well,
struggle.
I've got some thoughts. Yeah, we definitely got some thoughts.
We both
on this.
Know what this is like, and I think they struggle because I think we struggle. I struggle with change, honestly. Like I say this all the time. I'm the most change averse person I know. You know, like I don't like it when my wife, who is an awesome interior decorator, decides to change, you know, like where that picture was hanging on the wall, you know, it's like, you know, after a while I'm like, yeah, I love that. That's much better. But then if she changes it again, I won't like it again for a little while. You know, I don't like change. And part of it's comfort. I like my routine. I like my comfort. I like things to be the way they were. I like not being surprised. I like, rhythms, you know, and some of those things are good impulses. You know, they're good impulses, but they just don't fit a changing world sometimes, and so we struggle with that.
Any time that we encounter change, it requires effort. It requires energy on our part.
Yes.
We have to exert ourselves. So when you, you know, even if it's a little thing, like the couch being moved to the other side of the room, it means you're sitting in a different spot. It means you might have to, if you watch a TV show, look at the television at a different angle.
Right.
You know, we like familiarity. We like routine. We like things to be the same because we like that comfort.
Sure.
And when that comfort is taken away, even if it's for a good reason, it can be unsettling
right.
at times.
Right. And we sometimes equate the status quo with what is right. You know, like we think if this is the way we've done it, this is the way that's right. And I do that more just being reflective here. I do that more as I have aged. Like I was more adaptable in my 20s than I was in my 30s or 40s. I equate the way that it has been as what is right.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily that dichotomy, you know, like maybe it's just the way that it was and there's other ways that could be fine too.
We've never done it that way before. It's never been done before. You know, so we're not knocking traditions. We're not knocking, you know, routine. And we're going to get into this more. There's plenty of things out there in our lives that it's good to have routines and patterns and disciplines of doing things, but there's other aspects of our lives that not only will change, but at times need to change.
Right.
And those are good changes that take place.
Yeah. And so that's a good segue to the next question. So the next question is like, when is change healthy and when is it not? Like, maybe we'll start there. When is it not healthy?
Yeah, I would say it's not healthy when obviously you're changing something that is explicitly rooted and grounded in Scripture.
Right.
It's a biblical practice. It's something that God has given us and revealed to us in His Word. So, like, abandoning good sound preaching for, kind of a relevant style, and I'm not saying relevant is always bad, but relevant in the sense of we're abandoning the roots in the Word of God
right.
for attracting people or making it more palatable for modern ears.
Right.
You know?
So change can be patently unhealthy. Like
yeah.
a following of the trends and... You know, if you do that with your clothing, fine, you know, but when you do that with your church, that could be very dangerous because we don't follow the changing winds, right? We follow
right,
the timeless Word of God. And so trends should not play a very significant factor in the way that we shape our church.
Yeah, and I mean, in even just how we structure our worship services,
yes.
how we structure our gatherings, when they become more concert-oriented or show-oriented, as opposed to focusing on the gathering of God's people to preach the Word, to sing the Word, to pray the Word, to see the Word, all of those things. So when we abandon those explicitly biblical things, those clear things from Scripture, those are unhealthy changes.
Yeah, not just unhealthy, sinful, right?
Like, yeah, sinful.
These are sinful changes. And we could do this in our personal lives too.
Yeah.
If you decide to do your day different where God's not a part,
like, yeah,
if that's
yeah.
a change, that's an unhealthy change, one that will lead to your harm and the harm of others around you, you know?
And even on a personal level, say your daily devotions, okay?
Yeah.
And now, I'm not saying, say you've got a Bible reading plan that you've read through for the last 7 years, and you've done that, you've read through the Bible once a year, and then you say on year 8, I want to read a different plan. Okay, so there's no problem with that change. You're still in God's Word. But if you switch to something else and say, I'm going to read this light devotional that takes me out of the Word, and you know, for 15 minutes in the morning, this little devotional that maybe has one verse in it, I would say that's an unhealthy change. You're moving away from a discipline, a regular pattern of being in God's Word, to something less involved in God's Word, less rooted in God's Word. So we have to guard against unhealthy changes like that,
yeah.
both in the church and in our personal lives.
And I think there's probably another category of unhealthy change, and that's change that is not necessary, that we just do because we do, and is also at the same time disregarding people's feelings or thoughts about that.
You know, very much so.
And we could really get into an area where we're not loving to one another by consistently changing things that for no helpful reason.
Yeah, well, I just listened to, and you know what? I'm actually, when we publish this podcast, I'm going to put a link to this in there. Bob Coughlin from Psalm of Grace Music, he and David Zimmer, who also works with Psalm of Grace Music, they do a podcast also, and it's called Sound Plus Doctrine.
I'm glad they didn't take our name.
No, they didn't take our name. They were around before us, but that doesn't matter.
God, we didn't take their name.
They did a podcast on idolatry in the Sunday morning gathering.
Mm.
And what they're talking about are
sacred
some of the...
Sacred cows
kind of thing. But also, so they give the example of the idol of tradition and the idol of always doing something new.
Mm.
And how both of those can be pitfalls if we make them ultimate things. So having traditions, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with having patterns and predictable things that we do as part of the life of our church. But if those things become idols, sacred cows that we are never willing to let go of, you know, that they can become dangerous to our life, you know. And then on the flip side of that, the opposite extreme is always doing something new every time something new comes out. We always have to be doing the latest thing, and
right.
that can become an idol.
That can become an idol,
yeah.
too. Yeah, we have to be trendy. We have to be there.
Yeah.
You know, I think one dichotomy is very helpful, and that is that we hold on to things that are timeless with a clenched fist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we do not... many of the things you've mentioned this morning, Pastor Thomas, with the preaching the Word and... praying the Word, singing the Word, we hold those things without wavering, and we're not going to change
yeah,
on those
yeah.
things. You know, I'm not going to change I'm not going to leave expository preaching. I'm going to hold it on. But there's a lot of other things that aren't at that level, you know, that can change and sometimes need to. Sometimes they just change because of personalities, different leadership, you know, those kind of things. Those we can hold with a more open hand, but we hold the timeless things with a clenched fist.
Yeah. In our recent church, what do we call it? Our annual celebration.
Yes.
I was getting stuck on my words there. Our annual celebration.
Back in January.
Yeah. Right. I gave my update to the congregation, and we were talking about the issue of change. And I kind of broke it down into three categories of change. You know, there are just the normal things that are the flow of our lives. We get older, we change, new leadership, people come and go. And that is, you know, we see that in the life of our church. And sometimes there are needed changes or necessary changes. You know, one of the things we talked about was why are the lead musicians up on stage now? Our church is growing. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing more people coming in, and we needed more seating.
Right.
And
it opened up 40-ish seats.
Yeah, 40 a seat. And then in addition to that, I actually feel like I can shepherd the congregation better from the front and lead better in that aspect of the ministry of the word. And then sometimes we just do new things because they are actually good things that benefit the overall life of our church.
Right.
And so there's kind of those different categories of change that we encounter.
Right. So what's a healthy way to view the changes and maybe some cautions?
I would say self-examination. Whenever we find ourselves resistant to change or feeling uneasy about change, is beginning with, why does this make me uneasy?
Right.
Why is this bothering me?
That's a nice question to ask right away.
Yeah.
Know? Like, don't just go with the fact that it bothers you as, you know, a sign that it's wrong. But ask the question, why? Why am I bothered by this?
Yeah. And if there's ever a concern about something unbiblical happening,
right,
you know, that doesn't accord with the Word of God, absolutely bring that to the church leadership. If there's a deep concern about a practice or something like that, yes, absolutely, we want to bring those things up. And if it's something that is perhaps an important tradition to the church and it's become a, you know, it's meaningful to the congregation and maybe a change has happened too quickly, you know, those are things to talk about. But it's examining one's heart first as to, you know, why does this make me uneasy? Why am I feeling uneasy about this change?
Yeah, no, that's good. And then some of the cautions, you know, as a church leader, I'm very cautious about change because I know that it makes people uneasy and I don't want to be distracting. I don't want the things that we do to be distracting. And so I've tried to approach change with a, and I know, you know, some people are going to hear this and be like, well, a lot has changed in your 8 months since you've been here. But I've tried to see these changes as like, I've tried to be patient with the changes that we think we need to make. And they could, you know, if they're not urgent, they're not overnight kind of things, I think it's good to be cautious. Just not wanting to be distracting to people in their faith, you know, so that we're settled and we look around and it's our church, it hasn't, you know, it's not changing fundamentally, you know. So that's a caution. Another caution with change is, like you said, like, does this violate Scripture somehow? And if it does, that's not a healthy change, and we need to talk about that, you know, like, so as a church leader or as a church member, you know, we want to stay away. I mean it goes without saying, right? We want to stay away from change. You know, the Bible's timeless. It doesn't change. God is immutable. He doesn't change. We don't want to stray from him. So there's a caution.
So
patience.
You mentioned immutability, and I know we're going to get to this in just a minute. But you know, when we're talking about change within the church, is there a danger of becoming enamored with nostalgia?
And, oh, sure.
And you know, kind of this sense of like, it used to be this way,
right?
You know, what's some of the dangers that are involved with that?
Yeah, Paul said to Timothy, "Be content with such things as you have." Mm. You know, you have. That's present tense, right? Like, there is the same danger of being. You can just grow discontent because things are not the way they used to be. And that's one danger. You know, like you can't be happy in the Lord right now if you're if you're unhappy because it's not the way things used to be.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, you know, that's just true about your life. You know, like I'm 50 now. I turned 50 this year, and I could grow discontent because I remember when I was way more athletic than I am.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I can remember when my body was stronger, you know, my son just beat me in arm wrestling this week.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Right. It's like the first time.
You okay?
I'm coping, you know, it's a change though.
Yeah.
You know, I can grow discontent, but the fact is seasons change and things are the way they are now.
Yeah. I remember the days when I didn't have to pay taxes and, you know, or I filled out my tax form and I got money back. You know, life's changed.
Life's changed. Yeah, life's changed. So we have to. Yeah. The other thing with nostalgia is we hardly ever remember things the way they actually were.
Mm.
You know.
Yeah.
If you think back, like I can think back to this mission trip that I did to Venezuela when I was 16, and it was one of the best times of my life. Like God just was working so powerfully. But if I just think about it, I think about the sun setting in the evening over the Orinoco River in Venezuela, the Amazon rain basin there, how beautiful it was, the people I interacted with. There's a whole lot about that trip that I just have like purposely forgotten about. You know, they had these biting gnats that anytime you were outside would create blisters on your skin. You know, lots of things like that. It was a million degrees outside, you know.
Right.
I don't remember any of that. I remember the sun, the post rain sunset. You know those kind of things, and that's how our brains work. And maybe that's by the grace of God, but that's dangerous because we can look back at a season in our church, and we can think that's when
it was lovely.
That's when the sun was shining. Yeah. That's when it was beautiful.
I resonate deeply with that. I think back my first time I ever visited Russia. And the summer trip I took there, I remember the relationships. I remember the rich moments. I don't typically remember the gas stove blowing up and singeing off my eyebrows. And that's a story for another time. Yeah. Or getting knocked out, getting actually physically knocked out from getting hit in the head. Yeah. So, you know, it's like, I have this very rosy memory of that trip, and it was wonderful. But at the same time, they were getting eaten by mosquitoes in the forest, and
these
stuff
are
like
these are just examples. Yeah. This is how our memories work, right. You know. And I think we can look back at a season in our church and become, greatly discontent right now in my life and in my life with the church, because it's not like it used to be, you know. And oh man, God has it the way it is now, you know. There is an active today trusting in the Lord and loving the body of Christ, loving the bride of Christ now for what she looks like now and who she is now around you.
And I think knowing that and understanding that helps us realize that it's never going to be like it used to be.
It's never going to be.
In any age, at any time, we are always, as mutable creatures, undergoing change our lives and transition. So, you know, that kind of leads us into these next two questions that we have about what the Bible says about change and really the immutability, the unchangeableness of God. And so let's dive into that.
Yeah, sure. So, I think most of our listeners will know the difference between communicable attributes of God and incommunicable attributes of God. Mm. One, you know, communicable attributes are things that we share with God, things like we love, we hate, we create, you know, those are communicable attributes. God does this and we're made in his image and we do these things too. Then there are some incommunicable attributes of God, and one of them is his immutability. Now, these are all big words, but one thing about God that we don't share is that Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever.
Right.
You know, we're not like that. You know, we're not like God in that. You know, like he's different. He's other.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, just so many verses could come to mind, like Malachi 3:6, you know, God says, "For I, the Lord, do not change.
I do not change.
Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed." And of course, the context of that is Israel's sin and everything that they're doing, and God is saying, "But because I don't change, you are not consumed."
Right.
We could go to James 1:17, with whom there is no shadow of turning. It's where we get that great song, great is thy faithfulness. Oh God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee.
Right.
So the fact that we can rely upon God, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change, and we can rely upon that.
Perhaps some of the longing that we have that things remain the same comes from our longing to be with God.
I do think so.
You know, we want to be with the God who never changes and for whom there is no shadow or turning, you know, like he's the same, and we want to be with him. And I think part of that human impulse is that there's an incommunicability of that. You know, we are in this Ecclesiastes world, you know, things change, things have seasons, things there's times and seasons and things change. I preached through Ecclesiastes last summer, and man, it was my last stint preaching in a church that I dearly love that was about to go through great changes and has gone through great changes. And then this church is going through great changes too. And God was reminding me of his faithfulness, of his unchangeability in the midst of this very changing world. Yeah. And I was so encouraged by that.
We as believers, if we have the Spirit of God within us, we want everything to be perfect forever.
Yes.
So, you know, that's what our hearts are longing for. Yeah. But we're not there yet.
Like
you said, we live in this Ecclesiastes world.
Right. Here's something that never changes. God will never stop loving you.
Yeah.
If you are in him, nothing will separate you from the love of God. There are so many things. And, you know, as you, one healthy way to approach change in light of this is as you feel the unease of things changing in your life, let that draw you to the one who doesn't change.
Amen.
You know, so that you find your rest in you know, in that cleft of rock that doesn't shift, you know?
Like, yeah.
Let that be the way that you handle the change that you know is not unbiblical, that you know is just inevitable. Things change, people change, things, you know, churches change. Go to God with those and find in him one who does not change.
I look at the history of faith here, and we're coming up on 45 years. I've only been part of that story for 5 years.
Wow.
And but I know many who are listening and many members of our church. Some have been here from the very beginning, or pretty much the whole history of faith.
I've been here for 32 weeks.
32 weeks. But, you know, so I think of the things that have changed. I hear the stories about, hey, we used to have the house up here on the hill with the swimming pool, and we were known as the church with the swimming pool. And then they built the education wing of the building. And then you've had pastoral changes. You've had styles of music change over time. You used to be hymnals, and you know, now we have screens up that project. There's so many things that we could say kind of on a surface level have changed, but there are certain things that I know in this church have not changed, and that is a commitment to the gospel of Jesus Christ for its 45 years of history.
Mm.
A desire to preach the word, a desire to see the lost saved, people being baptized, people's lives changed,
yes.
Marriages healed.
Oh, that's such
restored.
A good word.
There's so much about faith that while there might have, there's structural, there's changes that have happened, and there's been reforms that have taken place in the way our church operates for sure, but the core heart of the church hasn't changed.
And that is all by the grace of God.
Amen.
You know, that is all by the grace of God. We no one can take credit for that. You know, we can only look and boast in Jesus for that.
Amen.
And that is something that if you're a listener and you're a member of faith and you're feeling the change, that's something you ought to rejoice in. You know, there are things about this church that have not changed and that they sure don't seem to be changing now.
Right.
You know, like, or any time in the future, you know.
Look for what has not changed.
Yeah, look for what has not changed.
Look for what has not changed, and are those things the things that really are just our ultimate in our lives that really matter?
And then
that's true. That's so true.
And then fight for contentment in your life.
Yeah.
You know, fight, and you have to do this no matter what. You have to do this if you feel like you're in a season that's status quo, that's, you know, that needs change but hasn't changed, or if you're in a season that feels like the ground is shifting. You know, you need this, and you need to find your contentment in him. You know, we find our rest in him and our contentment in life in him. One big thing, like I know a lot of people who are right now going through the empty nest thing. There's a big change that's hard to take, and we're approaching that. We're on our way there. We still have a 9-year-old, so I mean, we got a lot of time, but it feels like we have a lot of time. I know it's going to go quick, but find your contentment now in this chapter with what God has for you now, you know?
Yeah. Such a good word, brother. Well, you know, we're kind of hitting the high points of this conversation here. And you know, we've talked about what the Bible says about it. We've talked about God's immutability, rooting ourselves, being confident in the one that does not change. How then practically here at Faith? And I think this is good for our congregation here, and if others are listening, could be a benefit to their congregations. But how are the elders and the pastors of Faith approaching this issue of change, you know, as we're encountering it now, or as we're in it right now? How are we dealing with this? Sure.
I think some of the buzzwords, in my mind at least, and I think in the minds of the other elders, would be things like patience, compassion, care for the flock as we go through these changes. You know, those kind of things. You know, we want to go slow because we know that this is just inherently hard on people. And you know, do what we can to not change, you know, to not change what doesn't need to be changed, you know, those kind of things. So patience, compassion, unity, you know, those are the things that we care about most, and we want to see that those things don't change.
Yeah. I would add this too, as I think through this, and I try to think through this every time I plan out the songs that we're going to sing on any given Lord's Day. We have a multi-generational church, and everybody is experiencing change in a different way.
That's good. That's a good word.
So we, you know, that's why I do try to balance the songs between older songs and newer songs and everything in between. And I think that applies to the life of our church, because if you've been here for 30 or 40 years, you have seen a lot of changes. But we also, at the same time, have a lot of people who have started coming to faith within the last year, the last 6 months.
Right.
And this is the church they know now.
Right.
And this is the church, if they stay with us for X number of years, that they will know 10 to 20 years from now. And they'll remember, oh, it used to be this way, you know? Right. And so everybody's experiencing at a different level. And, you know, I recognize I cannot do everybody's favorite song on a Sunday morning. Mm. But, you know, I would commend to you, look for the things in every song that we sing, in everything that we do, that you can rejoice in and say, I'm on board with that, you know? And I think that's important to remember. And what may not be the favorite song that we're singing this morning, it could be someone else's favorite song.
Right.
That
right.
They are just rejoicing. Oh, I love this song so much, you know?
Yeah.
And so remember that as part of a multi-generational church where people have been here for many years, some are new, and everything in between, that we're all experiencing that change differently.
We are. Yeah.
And everybody is feeling that in different ways. And we can learn to be patient with one another.
Yes.
And love one another and say, hey, this might not be the way I would do it, but you know what? This could be very meaningful to others in along those lines. That's just a pastoral word there.
No, that's really good. And you know, there's so many passages that help us to try to look outward and not just inward at our unease. Another thing with the pastors and elders as we think about these changes is we want to continue to celebrate the things that aren't changing at Faith. You know, our five loves. We're gonna preach through Philippians this summer, and one of the reasons we're doing that is to reemphasize our five loves. You know, this is who we are as a church. You know, these five loves and five commandments, and we want to talk about those things. We're not changing our polity. We're still elder led, congregationally ruled. You know, that's not changing anytime soon.
Yeah,
we still find the Bible to be our final authority for life and practice. Like it's the Word of God, and we submit to it. All of those things, you know, they're not changing. We still sing with joy. We are still a singing church.
I would say we've become even more of a singing church. I mean,
I just love that.
I got so many good comments on Easter Sunday morning about just wow, everybody was just singing.
Oh,
out.
Yes,
so and great.
It's not the acoustics of the building; they're good, whatever. But it's the voices of the people, and we're a singing church. And I praise the Lord for that.
So wonderful.
Not
well,
changing.
This has been a good discussion.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got questions, you can go to faithsf.com/soundinfaith. You can also find us on the Faith app. We're going to take actually two of these questions today, and so let's dive into these. This morning, actually a question that has to do a little bit with change. It comes to us from Kevin. He says, if you come across a situation that you have the ability to change, how do you know God wants you to do that? How do you know that it is within His will?
Yeah, so a few different levels, and this is, you know, possibly a loaded question with a lot of, you know, a very specific issue. So, I mean, I don't know if my answer will strike at the heart of it, but one is, what does the Bible say about it?
Yeah.
You know, look to the word and what it says. Another is, you know, like what have your elders and, you know, those who you look to for spiritual leadership, how, you know, get their input, what they would say about this change. Pray your heart out that God would give you wisdom, you know, in it. And in the end, with those kind of things done, you know, you've looked at the word, you've sought good advice from mature believers, and you have prayed. You might end up having to make a decision that's based on just, you know, God sometimes isn't right in the clouds. You should take this job, or you should leave this job, yeah. or whatever. You might have to just by faith say, Lord, I believe this will bring you the most glory if I do this and do it.
Yeah, and I would say too, you know, the Bible talks about things that are very God's very explicit will that He gives to us. Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit.
Right.
So there's things that are very clear. On those things where we can't flip open and find a Bible verse that tells us what to do, should I replace the transmission on this car, or should I just get a new car? You know, things like that. You know, those are things we prayerfully consider. We glean wisdom from others, and we make that decision. You know, and that's where it comes down to. The body of Christ is essential in this, and that we can glean wisdom from others.
Really good question.
Yeah. Second question comes to us from Anna. She says, she asks, can you lose your salvation?
And I love answering this with one word. Anna, no.
You can't.
You cannot lose your salvation. No. Unequivocally, in no uncertain terms, if you are born again, you will never be unborn. You will always have eternal life. You will always be God's. Now, people who profess to follow Jesus can sometimes walk away from the faith.
Right.
But professing Jesus and being truly born again could be different things.
Yeah. You know, Jesus says, all that the Father gives me will come, and he that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. If Jesus paid for your sins, how can there be a situation where he unpaid for them?
Mm. You know? If you have eternal life, how can you die?
How can you die if you have eternal life? And you know, 1 John chapter 2 talks about that, about those who were for a season among us, but they went out from among us because they were never truly of us. So yes, there can be those, as you said, that profess faith, but do not walk in the faith. And
persistent, persevere.
We believe in that doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. So if you are in Christ and your hope is in Him and you're set up, you know, your hope is set upon Him, you know, we sing that song here, He will hold me fast.
He will hold me fast.
He will keep you.
So you can have assurance. You can have assurance. Yeah. That doesn't mean you can stop believing one day, or that you can ignore the warnings of Scripture or anything like that. I think God uses all those things to keep us believing and keep us hoping in Christ and holding firm to our original confidence to the end.
Amen. Well, this has been a good episode today, Pastor Mike. Enjoyed it. If you have any questions, you can send them to faithsf.com. You can go to faithsf.com/soundinfaith. You can also check us out on Instagram, Sound in Faith Podcast. We're on YouTube. We're on all the places. All the places. Check us out. So any final words, Pastor Mike?
No, that's great.
All right. I've got my chain sitting over here. I don't know.
Go to Moscow and buy some kvass.
You've been listening to the Sound in Faith Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. And Lord willing, we'll see you Sunday.